Welcome to The Sale Ring, a podcast dedicated to real estate brokers, agents, and America's top auctioneers that keep the markets moving. Join your hosts, Sean and Trina, as they talk with most successful realtors, marketing and technology experts, investors, and influencers. Welcome to The Sale Ring.
Another great episode of The Sale Ring podcast show coming up, and this one's going to be interesting.
Is it?
Yeah. We're going to talk about the state of Delaware.
The state of Delaware. Yeah, I don't think that's actually the conversation topic.
The state everybody forgot.
Yeah.
Right?
The forgotten state.
Sorry, Delaware. Nobody's safe on this show.
Isn't Delaware the granite state?
Okay, that I did not know.
See, I'm teaching you already, folks.
She's got her science books out this weekend.
It may actually be Connecticut or something. I'm not sure.
So we are blessed to have Julia Fritzlin.
Yes.
I say that right?
You got it.
All right, Fritzlin. Yay. She's with Insight, and Insight is a heavy player in DSTs, Delaware Statutory Trust.
Yes, thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, we're excited. We're excited about you being in the studio with us, learning more about DSTs, where and how they're applicable. But before we get started, tell us how you got into, that's a unique line of work. How did you get into that?
Yeah. So Insight, we're Insight Investment Advisors, local to Kansas City. Josh Wright is our president, and he founded Insight 20 plus years ago on traditional advisory services, high net worth individuals, but about a decade ago pivoted to alternative investing. And it was really based on his own family. So his father, grandfather owned several dozen motels on two-lane highways throughout the state of Kansas. They went to retire and sell. None of the kids, none of the grandkids were interested in the business and saw the tax bill and swore a lot, probably, and tasked Josh with figuring out a creative solution. So that pivoted Insight's business into Delaware Statutory Trusts. I personally joined the team a little over a year ago. So I have a healthcare background, did a large capital procurement for hospitals, health systems, which surprisingly translates very well to real estate. So when you think of capital procurement, you have equity, you have debt, you have payoff timelines, and really you have cash flow, depreciation, everything that's present in traditional real estate. Changed the noun and it's synonymous. So, nice. Found my way to Josh and heard conceptually what he's doing, what Insight is doing. And it really clicked with me because it's all numbers, it's all returns, it's all, patterns that provide consistent success for folks. And just really, Josh and, my counterparts are, mentors to me, and I've got a lot to learn from them. And so that's kind of a personal growth for me outlet that I'm still reaping the rewards of.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. It you have to have a finance background. Is that very helpful in what you do? If you're
a business background, definitely understanding concepts that are traditional to real estate, but traditional to any business, any investing, any finance is helpful. But generally, you have to be an investment advisor, so have a securities license, and you're ready to roll. And you can just learn and grow professionally as you do in any industry.
Do you find with most techniques like this, most structured tactics to try to avoid tax or remove some of the burden of taxes, it's mostly about education that they're out there, but and they're available and they fit like a glove, but just the vast majority of people that even could use them don't know about them.
Yeah.
Oh, certainly. And what's surprising is even those who are familiar with the process and whatnot, it could change next
year. It changes
year.
Rapidly, doesn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's just re-educating yourself over and over and staying up to date on what's permissible and what's not permissible. because the rules the IRS lays out, they change all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just adjusting volume. So that's, well, regardless of your political affiliation, nobody is a friend of taxes. Yeah. You know, more taxes does not resonate with anybody. So.
Certainly.
And there have been, through the years in the IRS code, there's been some advantages that are plugged into that. I think intentionally, and this is my own take on it, I think that they probably at the time wanted to make those obscure. And they didn't want to make it easy to kind of figure out because they know that less of the population will take advantage of them.
Potentially. Yeah. That's an interesting thought to take.
So it's in there, but you got to have somebody dissect it for you and say, actually, here's the advantage to you. It's like, why didn't I see that? And it's like, well, we're trained professionals in this line of field. We follow the tax code and everything's above board. Mm-hmm. It's all highly legal. It's just, it's on page 187.
Buried in the fine print.
Buried in the fine print. Yeah, you gotta go dig it up from the archives.
You know, 1031 tax code's been around for over 100 years.
There it is. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, this isn't new, but surprisingly, you're right. It's new to a lot of people out there to take advantage of. Delaware statutory trusts were added to 1031 tax code in 2004. So there were a series of private letter rulings by the IRS that added, clarified really, the interest in a DST property as direct interest in real estate. So they're synonymous. And so that's when they became eligible as replacement property in a 1031 exchange. So you're right. It can be obscure information, but leaning on your professionals, your CPA, your attorneys, your investment advisors, your brokers, they're the ones that hopefully will be the, you know, hold the keys to that information and help guide you through all the different processes.
Right.
Do you find in your line of work that you're working with, you have a client out here that is a good target or candidate for this service? Do you work with their tax person, with their tax advisor normally?
Certainly. And that's truly, hopefully, the first call they've made, you know, is to that tax professional that's going to help them understand what are your capital gains? Yeah. What's your true burden here? Mm-hmm. Because maybe you have losses in other categories that can cover it. Do you need to do a 1031? Maybe, maybe not. So having that conversation with your CPA to flesh out what's the true burden here, what's the true liability, to understand first and foremost if an exchange makes sense.
Well, let's just dive in then, since we're talking about these. There's got to be some nuances. I think it would be potentially a fair statement to say more people that are familiar with 1031 exchanges may not be as familiar with the DST. They're lesser known, and longevity could have a lot to do with that. You just said that the 1031 exchange has been around for 100 years, DSTs. Little newer than that, but they now have a little bit of historical value also. They've been out there long enough that it's not, it wasn't just launched last year, and well, we'll see if it works. It's been tested many times in the market.
Oh, certainly, certainly. And I would say in the last 10 years, it's become more and more topical for folks as an attractive exit strategy. Most of my conversations with clients are estate planning, and income and tax strategies. So really exiting property and utilizing this vehicle to sell, defer taxes, collect income, appreciate in real estate and have all those wonderful tax advantages that real estate offers and leave behind the work and responsibility of ownership. It's a great solution for those who are ready to look to exit their assets they've built up.
What, I guess, if somebody's looking at this strategy, what are some of the qualifying factors?
So let's back up and just talk about what is a DST.
Yeah, for sure.
A DST, a Delaware statutory trust, it's a real property. These are large commercial properties around the country that are institutional in size and I would say quality. So think every property type that you can name, a commercial, an industrial, self-storage, manufacturing, e-commerce, multifamily, mm-hmm. hospitality, student housing, you name it. These offerings are held within a DST structure. So as an investor in a DST property, you are a fractional owner of that property. So you have equity, you have debt, and that is why you're able to complete a 1031 exchange, is because you can meet those requirements of replacement value. DST properties are, they have strict guidelines on what's permissible and what's not. And so one of them is that these need to be stabilized assets. So those entities and companies that go out, find these properties, develop these properties, stabilize these properties, and then they will offer them for investors. And so those entities and companies are called sponsors. Mm-hmm. And those sponsors are in charge of, again, gathering, offering, and then ultimately operating and managing the properties for investors. So you as a fractional owner complete your exchange, but that sponsor is in charge of managing the properties. So that's really what a DST is. I will say, and it's pertinent to mention that these properties, this type of exchange is available to accredited investors only.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the definition?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we are. And I guess one of the questions, you know, just for edification here on the show is, since you're buying in a fractional interest, and are those sold on shares? You're buying a share?
No.
Okay, so it's not governed by the Securities Commission.
They are. These are securities, but you have equity.
Yeah.
You have debt. You don't have a share. So
okay. You actually have whole ownership and a portion of it.
Yeah. Yep, yep. And that's that is one thing that people get confused on. So this is not a REIT. A REIT is where you're going to have a share of a company, a real estate company. Yeah. A DST is direct ownership in real estate. And that's the delineating factor there. So something to keep in mind. But accredited investor, it's the net worth of $1 million less your primary residence, or as a single filing member, an income of 200K, or as a joint married filing members, an income of 300K. So especially in land transactions, land value has been through the roof the last several years. So that accreditation qualification is not too hard to meet to be eligible for this type of exchange.
Yeah, that's interesting. And some of the nuances between REITs and DSTs. So I have to ask this question, just on the average transaction, how many owners would you share in that ownership? And I know that's a loaded question because it depends on, well, how much are you putting in and what's the size of the deal? Mm-hmm. But on an average deal, what if you had to envision it, you own that with 20 other investors, you know, 70 other investors?
I couldn't really guess because some DST properties are 20 million in size. Some are 250 million in size. So it's really dependent on the property. But you're going to get the tax treatment that is typical of real estate. And I would say it's the easy button for investors. So you're going to get a substitute 1099 in the mail long before April 15th, which wasn't that yesterday.
Yeah. Yes.
Hopefully everybody's extended.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to get a substitute 1099 in the mail. And it's going to have your allocation, your equity, your debt, your income, and then your allocation of all of your in commercial real estate depreciation, write-offs, so mortgage interest, furniture, flooring, appliances, you name it. And it's going to come in a clear, concise, simple report that you will just turn over to your CPA, and they're going to shake your hand and thank you. And
thanks for not making me do all this. I appreciate that.
Exactly. Exactly. So the tax treatment seen by the IRS is the same as direct real estate. Nice. And that is the biggest difference with a REIT and a DST.
Interesting. So who dictates how many investors there are in each property? Like, how does that
probably just what's work? Available in terms of equity?
Gotcha.
So there are 100K minimums. Yeah. So in theory, you know, if you got a $20 million property and everybody puts in $100,000, you know, you'll
the math works itself out. Yeah.
That's quite a few investors.
I'm not a math major, so I'm not going to do that math for you folks. But yeah, that's a lot of investment there.
And if, you know, the I guess the inverse of that, everybody puts in $1 million mm-hmm. on a $20 million yeah. dollar property, you're sharing ownership with 20 other people on yeah. that property. Yeah. And,
exactly.
And but, then there would be a term of ownership. You generally own those for a length of time or for a term?
Yeah. So typical hold periods for DST properties are 5 to 10 years. Okay. The average really being 7.5. So that sponsor I was mentioning previously, they are in control of the property. So they make every decision on the day-to-day operation and management. They are the ones who are going to decide when to raise rents. Mm-hmm. And they're ultimately the ones who get to decide when that property is sold. So you as an investor need to be ready to give up that control.
Yeah.
Some, it really depends on where you are in your life, but some would consider that a disadvantage, where others who are ready to move into a passive, I want my mailbox money. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call from a property manager.
That's right. Yeah.
This is a great advantage because you're leaning on a real estate, an experienced real estate sponsor to handle all those decisions.
Yeah.
So you're given notice, oh, your property sold and it's closing in 60 days. And you as the investor can then, because it's real property, you can 1031 exchange again into other available DST properties. You can exchange into ground down the road that you want to own and manage, or you can cash out, put it in your bank. So yeah. It's really, you have the flexibility in that regard to decide what to do with your portion of the sale proceeds.
I can tell you from being on both ends of that spectrum, from owning rental properties and managing those myself, to now owning rental properties and having management companies that mm-hmm. layer in between me and the tenants out there. I had this conversation. I owned some property in Oklahoma, for example. And a guy said, well, how much is the manager charging you? And I told him. And he goes, yeah. He said, I don't know. That's a bite coming out of your check. And I said, listen, brother, I'm just going to tell you right now, they're not charging enough.
Yeah, I don't have to deal with all of this. Yeah.
I hate to say that on open mic night, but I'm willing to pay them a little bit more because I'm no longer getting calls at 11 o'clock at night that the water heater is out. You yeah. know, somebody else taking care of that. And so what you just said about giving up that control or that ownership and having somebody else manage the property, I can tell you later in life, which is generally when revenue and ability starts coming in, it's very attractive.
Yeah. It is another attractive feature with DST properties, and these are, again, held in that trust structure that has pretty strict parameters around what's permissible and not. Unlike your own portfolio of rental properties or whatnot, your property management company is going to take care of the day-to-day operations, but if that water heater breaks, they are calling you. Mm-hmm. They need
your money still. Yeah.
They need a capital investment to take care of that. That's not on the table with DST properties. So there is no further capital investment required. So that's very attractive for that, you know, sunsetting retiree mm-hmm. client who may or may not have that type of capability down the road.
How, just out of curiosity, where does that money, where does it come from? You know, if there's a capital investment that's a required investment to continue to maintain the property, do they build an escrow account out of the revenues coming off of it and keep that seated for?
Well, a couple things. So these properties, basically improvement to the property beyond routine maintenance is not allowed.
Okay.
So you're never going to have an instance where you know, they're going to put in a pool a barn. Whatnot.
Build a barn, whatever that is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Just routine maintenance. And so they have to have deep reserves to calculate for if they're going to hold it. If the plan is, their business plan is to hold it for 10 years, they need to have reserve funds to accommodate any type of maintenance or repair along that road. And so that is a part of Insight's due diligence, is to look at that reserve fund and understand if it's adequate. Because there are, you know, lesser experienced sponsors out there that they'll have no reserves.
Yeah.
And that's ludicrous. Something's going to come up.
Yeah. Something always comes up.
Exactly.
So if you had to bulletize, you know, the top five, top seven advantages of a DST.
You know, there's many, but it depends on the person. It really depends on the person. So, you are allowed to accomplish your 1031 exchange.
Sorry.
All right.
I had that on mute. I'm sorry, folks. That was my phone.
That's Trina's alarm to wake up. Yeah. It's time to get out of bed and go to work. It's 11 o'clock.
So back to the advantages. I mean, you are able, this is eligible replacement property. So if you're ready at that phase of your life, if your family is not interested in taking over the business or the asset or the land that you've built up, this is a great option. Particularly with landowners, I mean, you all are the experts, but land has been that wealth building vehicle for families for generations. So it's provided income, it's appreciated probably tremendously, and it's provided tax benefits.
Yeah, it's been a tax shelter too.
It's been a workhorse for families. So when they get to that phase where maybe the children, grandchildren, the heirs are not, they're in different industries, they've moved, they're not interested or capable of taking over, then finding another synonymous vehicle is difficult. But a DST properties fit very well into that, if you can wrap your head around what this is. So DST properties, you sell, defer your taxes, you collect income passively. This is mailbox money. Mm-hmm. It's direct deposited every single month. You grow and appreciate in that real estate and that property value. You have all of the tax advantages that you're used to or close to. And it can be a passive portfolio that grows and grows, and you can pass to your heirs. So that same step up in basis, that's applicable.
Oh, nice.
Most of our clients, their estate plan is to exit land, exchange into DST properties, and to perpetually kick that tax can down the road. And their families will follow that estate plan, whatever it may be. Their heirs will receive the DST interests. It'll be retitled in their name, and most of them enjoy that passive income. So their children, their grandchildren, just reap the rewards of this growing building asset. So that is the number one benefit of this type of property. For folks, is that it can take over what land has done for individuals and families. Diversification is huge. I mean, every wealth manager in the world outside of real estate is going to say the key to success in investing is diversification.
Yeah.
So those low minimums I talked about, we can diversify a single sale into multiple property types, multiple geographic locations. And so you've kind of spread out your asset. So most of our clients, I mean, you probably know it well, they have one asset generally in one geographic location, and it's grown and grown and grown. Well, now you can have an interest in industrial. You can be a fractional owner of a self-storage unit in Texas. You can have a manufacturing interest in Illinois. You can really differentiate and diversify yourself mm-hmm. in your holdings.
Julia, let's dive into that for a minute, just to make sure that everybody that's hearing this understands. So you have a farmer in Missouri, bought farmland and about 1,000 or more acres at $500,000 years ago. He sat on this for 40, 50 years.
So their basis is next to nothing.
Their basis is next to nothing. They're getting ready to divest, and it brings $5 million. Mm-hmm. So they have in appreciation or in taxable
gain.
Gain, thank you.
Oh yeah.
So the gain is $4.5 million.
And they've got a tax problem.
And they have a huge tax problem, but they, for clarity, they don't have to put that into a DST that's related to one apartment complex or one. They can spread that across various industries is how I'm going to say it.
Sure.
Because the housing market may take a dip,
yeah.
and you're not getting the revenue off of that portion of the money, but the commercial shoots up.
Yeah.
Or vice versa, the inverse, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're mitigating that risk by spreading that across multiple investment classes in different industries.
You said it perfectly. And that's a huge advantage to folks. Because you're right. I mean, what, 4 years ago, hospitality hit the floor.
Yeah.
You know, you can't predict something like that.
That's right.
But if you had been invested in industrial, wow, that's gone through the roof in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So if you had really, you know, parsed out your investment in certain categories, you're going to mitigate. Yeah, you might be a little down over here, but you're way up over here. And that's the same in real estate.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
It's great content, and I think we have, I think you've raised a lot of awareness this morning on this show about what a DST is, mm-hmm. where it can maybe be applicable, and we're going to head into commercials. We'll hear from our sponsors. When we come back, though, I'd really kind of like to take this product now, let's take it to the streets, and what that means is you have brokers, auctioneers, people that are the connection point of a client that could potentially use this. Let's talk about the makeup of what those clients are and where it's applicable and maybe where it's not whenever we come back.
Ever dream of owning a country estate, historic home, or lakefront property? Log on to UnitedCountry.com. Would you like to retire to a home built on breathtaking acreage in the mountains? UnitedCountry.com. Ever dream of your own private hunting preserve? UnitedCountry.com. Over 30,000 farm, recreational, and lifestyle properties are just a click away, helping people find their American dream for over 90 years. We will help you find yours. Log on now to UnitedCountry.com and find your freedom.
Thinking about selling a real estate investment, but worried about the taxes you'll have to pay? Property owners just like you have solved their tax issue with a Starker Services 1031 exchange. One call could save you a fortune in taxes. Call Starker Services today at 800-332-1031 or visit online at www.starker.com and keep the tax dollars working for you.
Are you looking for heavy equipment but unsure where to start? Then you need to check out AuctionTime.com. Buying great equipment has never been easier than bidding online at AuctionTime.com. What are you waiting for? Online auctions are closing every Wednesday, so register and start bidding today. AuctionTime.com, the way to buy heavy equipment.
Crude oil, natural gas, coal. Buying and selling minerals is a breeze when you have the right energy professionals on your team. MineralMarketing.com is a leading resource for America's mineral owners. Whether you're wanting to lease or sell your mineral rights, Mineral Marketing has you covered. MineralMarketing.com, the oil and gas marketplace.
And we're back in the studio with Julia Fritzlin. She's with Insight, and we're talking about DSTs. That's the Delaware Statutory Trust. I practiced that all night, so I didn't mess it up.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah, you get tongue-tied.
I assume some legislators, they're not marketing people. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
DST. Let's keep it there.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when we were on the commercial break, we were taking a little sponsorship break, and Julia said something powerful mm-hmm. that I think is a great starting place for us as we enter the back half of this show, and that is not all things are created equal.
Yeah. Oh, certainly. Yeah. Certainly. So everybody, you know, we've hopefully answered questions on what is a DST, but now I'd like to start with understanding how to review those, how to vet those, et cetera. And so there's, to give a frame of reference, in last year, there were just over 200 DST properties that were offered for investment. And that was those were offered by over 50 sponsors. Mm. So you as an investor, I mean, that's very overwhelming to think about reviewing each property and understanding, is it profitable? Will it preserve my capital, et cetera? And so that's where Insight shines. And that's where we differentiate on, I think, others offering these types of transactions. So you'll have folks out there that are just going to offer, hey, these are all the DSTs available right now.
Here's the folder. Have fun. Yeah.
As if it's like a Zillow, you know, like just pick it out and let us know which ones you want to take a look at. And that's, you know, Insight, I would say, philosophically disagrees with that approach, because these offering documents are hundreds of pages for a single DST property. And putting that onerous on the investor, that's a lot.
Well, it's like going to an attorney and say, hey, listen, there's about 8 different things that you could claim in court. Why don't you pick the one you think best fits?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Go study the law books. Well, I mean, you're asking for professional consult.
Exactly.
Right?
And then you'll have on the other end of the spectrum, wealth managers out there that their firm, for whatever reason, they pick the one or two sponsors. These are the 7 properties, and we can do a DST transaction for you. And it's like, well, that's all fine and dandy, but what about the other 190 properties that were out there? You know, like, so Insight, we take a different look on vetting and performing due diligence. So again, on those 200 plus properties, my firm, we did due diligence. Our team of analysts ran through every property and every sponsor, and every offering stands on its own merit. So we'll look at essentially, you know, re-engineering underwriting to understand what's aspirational in returns and what's realistic and what's, you know, flat out make believe. And we're going to understand on a local, regional, national level, weak and strong supply and demand factors, and then market competitiveness, you know, comparing comps. And then there are certain legal firms out there that specialize in DSTs, and they walk every property. And so we'll layer their due diligence on top of ours to find holes, because nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
And then occasionally, you know, our specialists will walk properties. You know, they'll go and ask questions of sponsors. And on the sponsor level, think about, you know, background checks being performed on principal members.
Yeah.
So really understanding and doing our darndest to protect clients, what they've built up for generations, for decades, and preserving capital is number one. And then understanding what are achievable returns. Compared to land, this transaction, it is very attractive. Think 5-7% annual cash flow. Mm-hmm. Think 8-12% is Insight's targeted, you know, internal rate of return. So these are performing vehicles.
That's factoring in appreciation in it besides the revenue,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's layered in. That gets lost a lot in farmland. You know, people have a tendency to say, well, I want a 5 or 5.5% return in farmland. But in farmland ownership, you know, historically, that farmland is going to appreciate 2.5-3% a year over a long-term hold.
Mm-hmm.
You may not see it this year or next year, but you hold it for 20 years, you know, and you should see somewhere around 2-3%.
You know, what I think is fascinating with folks who are dead set on appreciation and whatever vehicle they're in, it's grown and it's appreciated. Well, if you go to sell and you don't exchange, that appreciation is practically wiped out.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that really is the truth of it. So you could hold a piece of ground for decades, but you go to sell and 30% of those proceeds are given to the government. You know, that's something to consider.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Do you target DSTs? And I guess I have a question prior to that is, how are they kind of registered or represented? You said there was roughly about 200 DSTs. Where are those posted at? Like if, yeah, if somebody has one, it's like, yeah, how do you know that there's, is there a DST board in the laundromat or like, where do
the
they?
Laundromat.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, new DST around the block.
That's not here, the clientele so. They're looking for. That's
what it may be, a lot of money in the laundry business.
You know, there's no real Zillow of DSTs, but they are registered with the SEC. And okay, so there are certain reports that come out and they're filed information with certain companies out there that we buy the reports mm-hmm. and understand the DST marketplace. So like any security, you're going to get that information. But it's provided to investment advisors and those of us who are specialists and professionals in this space.
So it has to go through
the average Joe. You're not going to find
it. You're not going to find it. Yeah, it has to go through the SEC, and then the appropriate companies get on a notification. You get notified of or buy a report that they're on. And where that question's leading is, do you just focus in a certain region of the United States, or are you looking at a portfolio of DSTs coast to coast?
These are coast to coast. And so, again, those 200 offerings last year, Insight approved 25 of them.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And we placed capital in roughly 20. So you can think of, you know, whittling down that marketplace to the truly attractive and what we feel are best offerings for our clients. And that's that they're all over the country. You know, they're in every state you can think of, and in every asset class yeah. out there. So it really, and of those 25, it's kind of a revolving approved list with Insight. So right now there are 90 active properties, available properties. Insight has approved 10. And of that list, we don't rank the 10.
Yeah,
we just present them to clients. We understand their cash flow needs. We understand their personal preference and comfort with that asset type. And then we really lean into their risk tolerance, mm-hmm. their need for diversification. And overall, we believe, and so Insight's been doing these transactions for just about 8 years. In those 8 years, we're very, you know, knock on wood, hang our hat on this, but we've had zero loss of capital. Nice. And that's, you know, I say that's to our due diligence process. And it's unlike anybody else's out there. So I think that it's a great service to our clients. And then also understanding, so, I mean, I think I asked you about this, but that huge, what was the ruling out there in the NAR association with it was yeah. big, you know.
Yeah, there was
understanding how people are making money now.
Yeah. Yeah,
in my space, it's very similar. So I would encourage folks to ask who is transacting these DST offerings for them yeah. to understand how they're compensated. Because in my yeah. world, DSTs have mandatory fees. One of them is a financial advisor fee, and it's could be different from property to property. And if you have somebody out there who's got an offering pool of 200 properties, they're going to lean you towards the offerings that have higher comp for themselves.
Yeah.
And that is a conflict of interest.
That is a problem when you're looking out for your own interest instead of your client. That is exactly what fiduciary responsibility is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I was gravitated towards Insight because they took that conflict of interest off the table.
Okay.
So we charge our clients a consulting fee, a flat consulting fee. And that's charged to the QI, to the qualified intermediary, as a permissible selling expense.
Okay.
And it's the lowest comp that any property is going to offer you, but that levels the field for our clients.
For sure.
And it takes that conflict of interest off the table for us, you know, real estate advisors offering these to clients. So I would really encourage folks out there considering this transaction to ask who they're talking with and understand how they are compensated.
Yeah,
very similar to what came out a few weeks ago with you all,
and which is sad, you know, not to get off on that topic, but there is no issue there. That was an issue that was manufactured. And it's just has evolved into, you know, the funny thing about anything that's publicized, people have a tendency to want to believe the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even sure. when it's not there, you know, it's just like, oh, I think I can get my fingernail in there and make some money with it. So I'm going to.
I think if you provide value and do what's right for your client, you're going to be a successful professional in any industry.
Yeah.
And that's.
Well, I love what you just said about consulting fee. Listen, this is what we charge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a flat fee. It's charged on the transaction. It is what it is. Now we have taken the illusion or the opportunity to steer you in a direction that's more beneficial for us. We get paid the same regardless of what you elect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. I think that's a very fair approach.
It's attractive because I feel like it puts the client first.
Yeah.
It really does. And so, not to get in the weeds and whatnot, but if once a client decides to go through with a transaction, that sponsor who's offering that commission, it's not like they can discount the real estate for our client. So yeah. what ends up happening for them is if they offer a 7% fee and we're only charging 5%, our client is going to get $1.02 for every dollar of equity that they place because our fee, 5%, is taken from the QI up front. So they actually get...
So it leaves that...
It makes two. Up and yeah, then they yeah. get a little bit more real
yeah,
estate.
Yeah, they get a little more ownership out of it.
So understanding those fees and how they play out for your particular exchange is important. Yeah. And definitely ask your trusted advisor how that's going to work out in your advantage.
Julia, could we talk a little bit about, and here's where I want the value for the listeners. If you're a practitioner in real estate, you're an auctioneer, auctions tend to, yield a client that's looking for maybe a 1031 exchange or a program like a DST because they love the time elements in them. Mm-hmm. They're a very structured sale when you're selling at auction. But real estate brokerage are divesting of a lot of property that has grown exponentially during your ownership. Who would be a good target? Like who, if I have clients and I have 50 clients, who are the ones that are in that stable of clients that may be a good target for this?
You know, I'll answer this in two ways because we can talk about it as the 1031 process because, as you know, inventory out there for that replacement property is harder and harder to find.
Yeah.
So if you are in an exchange or considering an exchange, finding that replacement property, whether, you know, maybe it's not a DST, that's a challenge, and you can be sweating bullets, honestly, and you can get down to the wire. So a DST, if you decide to move forward with a DST, it's the easy button of exchanges. You sell, you enter into a 1031, you're going to get your identification form from your QI, you list the number of DSTs that we've discussed and you're comfortable with, and you close 24, 48 hours later. Yeah. I mean, simple, seamless. You can sleep at night. Nothing's going to keep you up where, I mean, I'm sure you have many 1031 stories where it doesn't quite go that smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
In terms of the exchange process with the DST, it is the easy button.
Real briefly, hit the timeline one more time for a DST. What's a general time constraint?
It's the same 1031 rules. So you have 45 days to identify your replacement. And you have 180 days to close on that property. So those rules are the same. But if you are moving to a DST property, you are never going to hit 45 or 180 days. You're going to identify in a week. You know,
yeah.
you'll review the offerings. We'll talk about it. And you're going to list your identified replacements. And then you'll close 48 hours later. So really, I mean, under a week, under 2 weeks, if you're ready to move to this asset type.
Yeah.
Now, when you said mention, you know, who's a good target or who's appropriate for this type. So I work with clients in really three different ways. So again, clients who are ready to exit, ready to go passive, ready to just sell, defer taxes, collect income, leave the headache and responsibility of ownership behind.
Yeah.
That is the perfect target in there. And they're typically, you know, 60 plus in age. And I would say their religion is against
paying taxes. I'm not there yet, by the way. much younger. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're very opposed to paying taxes. And most of our clients want to live on that income because it's typically a step up in income. I also work with clients who are in an exchange, and because it is very difficult to identify property, maybe they're struggling to identify anything, or maybe they've identified one property. Put a DST or two as backup.
Yeah.
You will, you know, maybe you get the property that you've identified and actually want, go through inspections, and you don't want it anymore.
Yeah. It's a backup plan, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So you will close, your exchange will complete, and you'll have all of your tax deferment and income. It just might be in a property type that you didn't anticipate acquiring.
Yeah.
And then if you're in an exchange, and maybe it's could be a consolidating event. So you're going from a $2 million property and you found something that's a $1.5 million replacement. Mm-hmm. Well, that $500,000 is boot. That's a tax liability, and you will pay taxes on that. So I work with clients just for that boot, that lag. And it could be capital boot, could be equity boot, or it could be mortgage boot. So if you say that $2 million property, you have $1.5 million in equity and $500K in debt, you can exchange all of your equity into that $1.5 million, you know, ground down the road.
Yeah.
We can exchange your debt into highly leveraged DSTs.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a great strategy for folks, because that experienced sponsor, and I didn't make mention of this before, but I definitely should have, in DSTs, If you exchange your debt into a DST, you go from recourse debt to non-recourse debt. That debt is owned by the trust and that sponsor. It's off your books. That sponsor is required, who is experienced in real estate and hopefully has a track record of success. They're required to pay down that that debt for you.
Wow. Okay.
So there are several ways that, you know, you can really utilize DSTs to work for your advantage.
Are you finding that a lot of your clients are coming out of land? Is that a fairly stereotypical client that...
For me personally, yes. Insight has really built up a reputation and focused on commercial real estate.
Okay.
So their clients are mostly commercial, and there are some ag clients here and there. But me personally, yes, mostly land. The economics around the transaction are just so favorable. So, I mean, it's not a secret out there. Profit margins and farms, ranches, et cetera, they're tight. Mm-hmm. So you could maybe have income of under 3%. Well, if you're ready to exit and all of those things that we mentioned before, average cash flow in DST properties is 5 to 7%. So if you get a step up in income and your tax deferment and all the great benefits of just letting go of the ownership and the work of the land, then yes, it's a good transaction for you and your family.
So let's wrap up with this. Tell us a little bit about Insight as far as the strengths. And this is, they always say the elevator speech, but yeah, Insight is, you know, I love what you said about the flat fee earlier, but, you know, experience, you know, or longevity or what. Tell us about Insight and really just why it's the right company.
You know, Insight is, again, client first. So ahead of any prospective client entering into a 1031 exchange, we're going to understand your entire financial picture. So we're going to take a liquid needs assessment. Maybe you can do a partial exchange. Maybe that's appropriate for you. We're going to understand your goals, your income needs, and really there's no, I guess, stall that you're going to be funneled through in our process. It is differentiating every single client in their particular situation. So we're really going to hopefully be working together for decades and maybe generations. So establishing that relationship and understanding what you want, how it's going to fit into your estate plan, and then bringing in your trusted advisors, we can certainly recommend them. We work with many CPAs, attorneys, accommodators, real estate brokers, et cetera. We can recommend those. But if you have already a team around you that's trusted and done you right for years, then we'll work with them and we'll get everyone at the table and understanding the plan and comfortable with the plan. So I think that's really where we differentiate ourselves. And then obviously I already talked about the due diligence, but that's huge. That's just enormous. And so I would encourage you to, as a prospective seller or even working with a client, to understand the people you're working with, how they're compensated and how they do business and how they, is this a relationship or a transaction?
That sounds like great advice. And let's say that you're working with those clients and somebody's listening to this podcast show has a lot of clients right now and they think they may have a good prospect. What is the next step? When's a good time to engage with Julia and engage with Insight and kind of at least flesh out whether there's something real there or not?
Earlier the better. I mean, I do get emergency calls. You know, I'm on day 40 of identification. Yes, I got nothing. And we can, I am comfortable moving that fast, but you may not be. So the earlier the better. If you're considering this type of transaction, reach out, talk about it. Get your head wrapped around what this could or could not be for your particular situation. But yeah, I mean, we can be quick as well. So if you're in an exchange right now and need replacement property, that give call us a call. We can help, certainly. But my preference is to establish a rapport, establish a comfort level, establish a general understanding of what this can be for you and your family.
Yeah, nobody likes an emergency situation, right? So it's nice to build that relationship before that emergency happens. So
for sure.
Yeah, we'll,
for sure.
We'll take care of you. I can assure you, but it can be stressful for you.
This has been a tremendous amount of information and insight, if I may. Thank you. Thank you for Delaware Statutory Trust for all of the education today. And if somebody wants to reach out to you, we'll make sure and put this in the show notes when we load the podcast show. But tell them how to get a hold of you.
Best email, call. I'll pick up the phone. I can almost guarantee it.
Very good. Yeah, and check out... check out the, we'll have her contact information, on the Sale Ring podcast show when we load this. Julia, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's
a wonderful episode. I think it's a wonderful technique. Folks, look into DSTs and contact Insight. We'll see you next time inside the Sale Ring.
Thank you for joining us for today's show. To access all resources and links mentioned in today's show, head over to www.thesaleringcom now. We appreciate your feedback and encourage you to share the show with other industry pros like yourself. Join us next time as we meet you inside the Sale Ring.